You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Are you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to come across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you in sports, entertainment, and the odd news realm, but you know, sometimes we got to go off on our own little tangents.
Yeah.
We do what we feel like is right. And
we're like crusaders of comedy and entertainment.
Yes. So we hope you join us for the ride and enjoy it. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode. A couple of things that we need to get to in sports, entertainment, and odd news. But before we do, we like to go over what's happening in our personal lives before we start serious news stories off. So, Mike, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Pretty good. It was a little snowy this weekend.
Yes, it was. A little shocker of snow.
Which is odd because, you know, this week is also going to be in the 70s.
So yeah, we have.
Weird.
We're swinging from snow to 70 degrees.
And then back to, like, 30 or something.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to the weather. It's crazy. It's all crazy.
Guys like us, we're always hot all the time. Like,
it doesn't even matter to me. Anything above 50, I'm like, ugh, bust out the shorts and the t-shirts.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me in the least. But this weekend, it was a little bit snowy, so I got a chance to check out some Netflix shows. I watched The Cloverfield Paradox, which was a movie that randomly, is this the right movie? I'm looking at The Cloverfield Paradox because it has the release date.
You actually watched Twin Peaks.
No. No, I say that because I'm looking at the Wikipedia thing. And it says the release date is April 20th, but it definitely isn't. I just watched this movie. Anyway, sorry about that. So that kind of sums up.
Okay.
That kind of sums up where this movie is, though. Because this was a movie that was stuck in development hell, and then Netflix was like, surprise, here it is, and they just launched it without any sort of fanfare or marketing. And it shows, let me tell you, it's pretty rough, man. It has a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
And a 37% on Metacritic. I watched it because I like the Cloverfield brand and that universe. So Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Like, they were good movies. So I was like, I'll give The Cloverfield Paradox a shot. It was crazy, man. It was ridiculous.
But not in a good way.
No, not in a good way. Here's what it is. It is a roller coaster ride of cheap thrills, okay? So you don't care at all about the characters. You don't understand at all what's happening in the plot. It's just nonsensical genre mashup of every sort of sci-fi and horror trope and archetype that you can imagine. Because what they do is they end up creating, like, you know, the multiverse theory. There's, like, all these different universes and
Right. Everything
happens differently in each one. They're trying to solve an energy crisis, and they're doing that by smashing particles together in space. And they end up...
Wait, this is a Cloverfield movie?
This is a Cloverfield movie.
All right, no, this is all right. I can already sense this is a bad idea.
So the multiverse universes come crashing together, and a whole bunch of bonkers stuff starts happening I can't even get into it. It's just insane. It was exciting, like all the different troubles and obstacles that the space crew faces. It's one of those movies where the crew slowly succumbs to all of the craziness going on. But at the end of the movie, you're just like, okay, I don't care at all. Like the main character, for instance, doesn't speak at all for like an hour straight. Just nothing. Isn't even part of the movie for a good portion of it, until the very end where she has this like little emotional speech. And I'm like, I don't care. This is the first time I've heard your voice in 45 minutes.
Yeah, you know, the moment I heard multiverse theory and everything like that, that's wrong.
Yeah, you need to have a deft hand to pull off something like that.
A Cloverfield movie should just be a monster movie, essentially.
Yeah,
it tried to
get way too sci-fi. It tried to get way too heady, and it just didn't come off right.
Yeah, you're not Christopher Nolan here.
No, not
step
at
aside.
All. Or Ken Levine.
Yeah,
you know, it just missed the mark in a lot of regards, but it was entertaining. You know, it was, like I said, cheap thrills, but I didn't care at all for anything. So I'd give it like a 5.5 out of 10, maybe.
Okay, there you go.
It wasn't that good.
Mike's Netflix review.
Yeah. That's what I was up to, was watching that pitiful movie. But what were you up to, Rich, recently?
Yeah, so the snow hit on Saturday, and I got drunk with a bunch of my friends. Yeah, so that was pretty much my weekend.
There you go. And that was the whole weekend.
I mean, what else? So here's the thing. It snowed in Philadelphia. It snowed on like Saturday at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And kept going to like 9 or 10 o'clock.
Right.
So
I don't know.
Yeah. So it was like, it was either you went out early and wherever you were, you stayed, or you just stayed at home. So
yeah.
Me and my friends decided to all get together before the snow hit, get all of our booze together, and then just have the snow come down, drink, and then build a snowman and pass out.
There you
go. And
it
all worked out.
That's the adult version of a snow day.
It worked out beautifully, too, because the temperature rose on Sunday and it rained, so it washed all the snow away. Nobody had to do any shoveling. It was great.
It was amazing. It was like it had never snowed the next morning.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. This might be a sign that I'm an adult. I look forward to the day where it snows and I don't have to shovel. Yes!
It's the small victories.
Yeah.
The small victories. I think it's interesting, though, that a lot of people are like, oh, you got to get, like, the necessities. Got to make sure you have bread and milk and peanut butter and water. And you're like, just make sure you have enough booze.
Right. Booze
and
is what you need.
You can weather the storm.
Right. Booze, couple movies, you're good. You don't need anything else.
You can start a fire with some booze, you know? So it's like a source of heat if worse comes to worse.
Yeah, but I sweat all the time. You don't need heat.
Yeah, I sweat all the time. You don't need
heat. I don't need heat. I'm good.
You know what my problem is alcohol makes me very hot.
Right, it does.
Like, I drink and I like start sweating. I'm like, oh, my God.
For me, specifically, it always ends up being red wine.
Red wine gets you going.
If I drink red wine, I start sweating immediately.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Whenever I'm at, like, a family get-together and, like, have some wine, I'm like, okay. And I drink and I'm like, does it feel like 85 degrees in here to anybody else? And
I need
like,
to step outside immediately.
They're like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's... I don't know if it's we're just two big guys and, like...
I think that probably has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just sweat all the time anyway. Like, but, it's going to be, like, close to 80 this week, and I'm like, ugh, can I wear shorts to work?
Yeah.
You know?
And, yeah, on the flip side, girls are, like, going crazy over this. Like, this is the best weather ever! Oh, my God!
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm dying over here. So...
I just wish it could stay
60
degrees all year round.
This is winter in Pennsylvania. Snow, rain, 80 degrees, 30 degrees.
Back to snow.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. I don't know how you explain this crazy weather here in Pennsylvania.
It's living in those mid-Atlantic states, man. you get all the crazy fluctuations.
Right. So, there you go. That's what's happening in our own personal lives.
Do we want to take a moment to mention a very special show next week?
Yeah, you know, yeah, you want to mention it right now? Yeah, sure. I think it's a good time. Now's a good time in the show.
Let's do it. So you may have noticed the episode number 4 of this episode is 249.
Yeah.
That means that next week is
a big one.
A huge milestone.
Yeah.
Episode 250.
250.
Officially marks, I'm going to need about 250.
Yeah, right? We're going to need about 250.
It officially marks 5 years here on the podcast.
Yeah.
That is a scary number when you say it out loud, 5 years, but... man, it's been such a journey.
Right. You know what's funny is I keep thinking, I'm wearing an Eagles Super Bowl shirt.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about the journey we've had with the Eagles.
That's the metric. That sort of sums up everything, like how far we've come is, you know, you look at the Eagles journey and it's like, wow.
Yeah. And we've been following along with it every season since then. And yeah, and now we've hit the point where the Eagles have done the impossible and won the Super Bowl. And now we've done the impossible and have lasted for 250 episodes in 5 years.
That's right. But you know what? We wouldn't have made it this far without... you guys, the listeners, the fans, and because of that, we're going to need your help. You got to pitch in. You got to pull your weight, people.
Yep,
come on. I'm kidding. But we do
no,
need...
Actually, this is a way for you guys to be interactive with the show.
Yes, it is. We love it when you guys interact with the show. And that's why we're opening up a forum, if you will, for you guys to ask all the burning questions you've had over the years on Facebook, on Twitter, on the website, YouTube, wherever, however you want to get in touch with us. We're going to be collecting the questions. We're going to try and answer as many as we can next week on the podcast. And we have a very special gift for the five best questions.
That's right. Those that are chosen as the five most interesting questions will win a pair of tickets to see our guests that have been on the podcast, Ghoul BC, the best tribute band to the legendary band Ghost in the Philadelphia area. They're playing a big show at the Trocadero on March 3rd, and they've kindly given us five free pairs of tickets to give away. So what we're going to do is we're going to pass it along to you guys. If you give us one of the five most interesting questions, we'll be in contact with you and hook you up with a pair of tickets to go see Ghoul BC at the Trocadero March 3rd.
That's right. We are so excited to hear from everybody, so make sure you get your questions in. This is open to everybody, of course.
Yeah, everybody.
So all you guys up there in Canada, you guys can ask some questions too.
Yes, everybody.
We have a large contingency in Canada.
Yes.
We do. They've been commenting on my dad's video.
Yeah, I think they're just fans of Mr. Costanza.
Well, we made that joke earlier to my dad. We're like, you realize you're the main show, and me and Rich are just like the side attractions.
Yeah, every time we post a video with your dad in it.
Yeah. At this point, we just have fans of my dad that have stuck around for the show.
We should start a Facebook page for just your dad.
Oh, my God. I already told him. I said, we're gonna video you digging in the garden. He's like, I love digging. And I'm like,
perfect.
Don't be surprised if you see that in the future.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, thank you guys for tagging along for the ride the past 5 years. We're going to get more into it next week, but make sure you get your questions in ASAP. All questions are welcome. We're going to answer anything and everything. So
that's right. Nothing is out of bounds.
That's right. Get in touch.
All right, now let's get to what we have going as planned for this week's episode. It's time to launch into our first segment. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face here, and we're going to hit it off with a couple of quick topics in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, the clock is on go.
All right. This week,
what do you got?
In the two-minute drill, we have some Eagles news, of course. I love Eagles news. This is important, though. This is a story that we talked about a little bit last week. The Philadelphia Eagles' search for a new offensive coordinator is over, and like many predicted, the team promoted from within by naming wide receivers coach Mike Groh to the offensive coordinator position. Mike Groh is widely credited with helping orchestrate the notable resurgence of former first-round bust wide receiver Nelson Agholor and turning a previously weak position of the Eagles into one of their strengths. His coaching credentials have been proven there. Just in turning around Nelson Agholor, that was amazing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with this decision.
Yeah, it sounds like a good decision. I'm hoping that he can continue the great work that Frank Reich did. I have all the confidence in the world with him, and he still has Deuce Staley backing him up. Deuce Staley got a new title, assistant head coach / running backs coach.
Yes.
So good for Deuce Staley as well. He deserves
Deuce.
It. Yes, Deuce. Another fan favorite here, the play that has taken all football fans by storm is about to become even more official. The Philadelphia Eagles have recently filed to trademark the term, quote-unquote, Philly special, most likely to be used in merchandise and marketing material. While they may have missed most of the initial wave of shirt sales, this move will forever cement this play as a staple in Eagles history. I'm glad they're doing this.
Yeah, as well it should.
Yeah.
I just love the behind-the-scenes footage that came out on the Eagles channel.
Yeah.
Just Nick Foles just casually going, you want Philly, Philly? And just Doug Peterson going, yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, sure.
It's the look that he gives him that really, it's like amazing, this coach-to-quarterback look. It's
right.
Great.
And, you know, no big deal that it's the Super Bowl on the line and it's fourth down.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many things that...
This is a legendary play that will go down in football history, and I'm glad the Eagles are recognizing it for what it is and really putting their stamp on it.
Right, and it is cool as the Fonz.
A cool as the Fonz.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
All right. You pulled that out of... I don't know where you pulled that out of.
Or I could go, hey! Oh, yeah.
You're just making noises over there.
Yeah.
What was that?
That was my
oh, that was your
pituation.
MMR thing.
Hey. Yep. Yeah, for all those that followed me from MMR. There you go.
Yeah, you have your own little fan base over there.
Just a little
bit. It's weird when you think about it.
Right. Anyway, let's move on to some main issues here in the sports sampler. You want to talk more about Eagles, and I agree, because the Eagles have some big questions as to what they're going to do about their roster salary and their cap room, because they don't have any right now.
Yeah, I think, what are they, like $9 million?
Something like that, yeah.
Over the cap?
Right.
It's something crazy like that.
Yeah, there's going to be some cuts coming.
A lot of big names here that we got to pay. And this is a problem, and this is a problem that all Super Bowl teams face, is that in prepping for the Super Bowl, you got to spend money. And when you spend money, you eventually get to the point where you're spending too much money. And the NFL, of course, has very strict cap rules where each team can't spend over a certain amount of money, which puts us in the position we're in now of being $9 million over the cap. So the question is, what are we going to do about this? Are we going to have to say goodbye to some fan-favorite players?
The answer is yes. Yeah, there's going to be cuts coming.
Who do you think is going? That's the big question. One of the names I keep hearing get thrown around, Jason Peters.
Yeah, he 36, I believe.
He's 36.
36, yeah.
Recovering from an ACL. His cap hit is big, $10 million.
Yeah. I mean, especially with Vitae stepping up this season, it does seem like it's kind of redundant to have Peters on.
Do you think that is a cap casualty, Jason Peters?
Yeah, or Peters retires. I think one of those two things happen.
So, I mean, here's the thing. I wouldn't mind him retiring, but I think that he still has unfinished business. Or I think he thinks he has unfinished business. Like, he needs to come back for one more year.
Well, then he's going to need to restructure or something. $10 million is not going to fly. Yeah, something's got to come.
His cap hit is way too high.
Yeah.
At $10.6 million. If we cut him, we'd be saving roughly $4.5 million. There's a large amount of dead money there, $6 million. But getting back $4.5 million, that's half of our deficit. So with one player.
That's a huge chunk.
That is a huge chunk. So as sad as it is to say, we might have to say goodbye to Jason Peters. Also along the lines, we might be saying goodbye to Vinny Curry as well. He's a $5 million cap hit in money saved. What do you think about Vinny Curry?
Yeah, again, that's going to be one of those I would hate to see him leave, but I would understand the business side of it.
Yeah, I mean, he was essential in that rotation. He was one of the reasons we could swap defensive linemen out so often, because he was a stable player and somebody that was able to come in a reserve role. I think the Eagles will want to go with Derek Barnett eventually as the starter.
Right. Obviously he was the first round draft pick. So yeah, they envision him to be the leader.
Right. And you know, last year it would have been easy to say, get rid of Curry. He's not doing well. He had a much better year this year. So it makes it quite a bit tougher to get rid of Vinny Curry.
That's right.
But it's another move I think the Eagles will probably have to make. Some other moves, though, are a little questionable. Like, I'm hearing people say maybe get rid of Michael Kendricks, the linebacker. What do you think of that?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because earlier in the 2017 season, he wanted to be traded. He was frustrated with his role on the team.
Yeah, he wanted out. Well, so I have some numbers here. He only played 270 snaps last year. This year he played 614.
Well, yeah, so Hicks went down, right?
Hicks went down, but also the way that he was being used in the defense just completely morphed. He's finally coming into that role. You know, I've always been a big Michael Kendricks fan, and I thought that he could be a good linebacker, and he's finally reaching that potential. Do we want to get rid of him as soon as he's getting to that point? Maybe we trade him for something?
Perhaps. I think he's another one that could be a casualty as well. I think, though, we got to get to the big issue here.
Okay.
The big one. The elephant in the room is really Nick Foles. Do the Eagles trade Nick Foles? Because if they do, they could get some value out of him, and they save a lot in the cap room.
Yeah. I think that
some of those cuts might not even happen if they trade Nick Foles.
His cap number for, I'm not sure if this is for this year or next year, is over $7 million.
That's his total salary, I believe.
That's his total salary. Okay.
Right. I think the cap hit is $5 million.
Cap savings is about $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. So I'm hearing rumors the Eagles don't want to part ways with Nick Foles.
Yes.
What do you think? Should they try to part ways with him? Should they try to keep him? I mean, it's a lot of money for a backup quarterback. However, he's also a Super Bowl MVP quarterback.
Yes, he is.
That's the
only in Philadelphia will we have this dilemma.
Well, we have to have a quarterback controversy.
Right, always.
It wouldn't be a Philadelphia Eagles season without there being quarterback controversy.
So I'm going to go with, I know this is going to be shocking, especially like last couple of episodes that we've done. I think the Eagles end up keeping Nick Foles. Carson Wentz is going to be coming off of the ACL injury. And even though that he's been very optimistic about returning for week one and everything, an ACL and the LCL tear is huge. There's been even some doctors that have gone on radio shows and have compared it to RG3, which is something you don't want to.
You don't want that comparison.
Right. So I think this is going to be one of those moves that the Eagles are going to be playing this more safe than sorry. If there's any sort of setback or any sort of worry that Wentz isn't going to be 100% by week one, they're going to keep him on the bench. They do not want to ruin their franchise quarter. They don't want this to turn into Andrew Luck, where we don't know what the hell's wrong with him.
Right. And you don't want to squander any opportunities you have with such a – you have a good core group of players. So, you know, if you get rid of Nick Foles and, you know, the worst happens and Carson Wentz goes down again, you don't want to squander a great year by bringing in, you know, a Chase Daniel or Nate Sudfeld.
Although the Eagles are high on Nate Sudfeld.
They are, but not as high as they are on a Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback, right. Probably.
Oh, yeah.
I know that Doug Peterson values backup quarterbacks a lot.
Being one,
yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. You know, it's a position you don't want to ever have to put on the field. But
it happens.
It happens. It does. And you see how it can tank a team, or you see how it can lift them to the ultimate pinnacle. Tom Brady was a backup.
That was the last backup quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
I'm telling you, there was a lot of weird, circuitous sort of connections and things going on in that Super Bowl. But yeah, Tom Brady was a backup, filling in for Drew Bledsoe. He won a Super Bowl. Nick Foles did it. Backups have won playoff games in the past. So you don't want to completely write off the concept of having a good backup quarterback, especially when you have such a good core group of players.
Right.
You know, you don't want to waste a year when you have all these guys together under contract. That being said, I'm also hearing that the Eagles, if they were to listen to offers, would demand or shouldn't listen to offers that didn't include two first-round picks.
I don't know.
If, let's say, the Browns come up to the Eagles, they say first and the fourth for Nick Foles.
Both of first and the fourth? Yeah, you got to take that.
You got to take that?
Look, no.
So any two first-round picks? If a team comes to you and says two first-round picks,
yeah,
Nick
that
Foles,
would be. I think that's kind of pie in the sky.
Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback.
Yeah, but it's still Nick Foles.
No. Don't say that. Nick Foles. You take out his year under Jeff Fisher, who has made it the point of his career to destroy young quarterbacks. You take out that year, and the dude has over a 90 quarterback rating for his career. I mean, the dude.
But is he really going to be a franchise quarterback?
He stepped up in a big way, in the biggest way.
Yes, I think it might be getting a little high on your own supply. I think
Carson Palmer went to the Raiders for a first and a second. Back in 2011, 2012.
What was it? Raiders? Did the Raiders get it? Or
the Raiders got Carson Palmer for a first and a second. You're telling me Nick Foles couldn't command two first?
Carson Palmer
for a first and a second. Nick Foles just won a Super Bowl.
But see, here's the
against the Patriots. He didn't beat the Browns.
If you give up two first round picks, you're literally giving up like your immediate future. Like that's no influx of rookie talent.
Who are the Browns going to draft this year? they're going to draft fan number one and the guy selling hot dogs.
this is the Browns. The Browns. You know what? For the Browns, it makes complete sense because they already do horrible with their draft picks anyway.
They've drafted like what is it like 25 quarterbacks in you know just as many years?
Yeah, something like 18 quarterbacks in 20 years.
18 quarterbacks,
ridiculous like that.
That's insane.
Yeah,
you're telling me they're like, well, let's take another flyer on this quarterback who we're clearly going to mess up because we're terrible, or let's give both these picks to a sure that who can we know can at least throw the football.
Well, you know what? If they kept Hugh Jackson on, then you know what? Screw it. Do whatever you want. The Browns can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Actually, to get this back to a more serious topic.
Yeah.
The price for Nick Foles is probably going to be adjusted whenever the Kirk Cousins situation gets handled.
God, I hate every offseason being dictated by that stupid meathead Kirk Cousins in D.C. This guy...
Well, he's not going to be in D.C. anymore. He's had enough. He's out of there.
They're going to tag him.
No. He'll fight.
No?
He'll fight it. He has had enough of the Redskins organization.
I don't know.
Because he's always wanted a mega contract, and the Redskins won't give it to
him. He's not worth one. Not worth a mega contract.
I think there are some teams that will disagree with you. Jets.
Didn't they recently say they're willing to give anything to get Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, there's been a report that says the Jets are going to go after him.
Jets, get in touch with the Eagles front office. We'll take a couple of first-rounders off your hands. If you're that desperate.
And the Jets are. They have nobody at quarterback.
Kirk Cousins is a punk. The Washington Redskins is a dysfunctional organization. That relationship has been doomed from the start. When you franchise tag a quarterback 2 years in a row, that's just insane. They're paying this dude almost $30 million because you can't come to a deal with him.
Yeah, long-term deal.
And he clearly doesn't want to play for you. Get rid of him while his value is high. I don't know what Washington is doing. They're trying to force this guy to be good for them.
Right. And
he's just not having it.
Right. He eventually gets to a point where he's had enough. So he's going to go test free agency. And I think that's going to be a key into this Foles puzzle. Because let's say Cousin goes to the Browns. I don't think Foles gets traded at all. I think that pretty much shuts down your number one option.
Yeah. I mean, it really does depend on where he goes. Because the Browns would be the leading candidate for Nick Foles.
Yeah.
They're one of those desperate teams like the Browns, the Jets.
Right.
I'm seeing some crazy things. The Jets want to give Kirk Cousins $60 million in his first year. This dude is not worth that much. Like, this is what pisses me off. Kirk Cousins is like an average quarterback, and teams are willing to sacrifice an arm and a leg for this guy. It doesn't make any sense.
But teams are killing for decent quarterback play right now.
It's true. It's true. They are. But I don't know.
And don't get me wrong. I think you're also underselling Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins had two straight 4,000 plus passing yard seasons.
All right. If you want to be technical, it's three.
Three. Sorry. Look at the last.
He has a career rating. I'm looking at it now. Career rating of 93.7.
Yeah.
But answer me this. What have the Redskins done in all this time?
Nothing. The Redskins are a dumpster fire. It's amazing that Kirk Cousins has put up these numbers.
I don't know. I don't trust him. He seems like a problem. He just seems like a problem.
Really? You think he's the problem?
I think he's partially to blame for it.
Have you met the Redskins organization? Have you met Dan Snyder?
I have not, but I've heard stories.
Yeah. I think it's the organization. They don't know how to handle him.
Here's a team that, and I don't know whether they're trying to sign him and he's refusing or he just wants.
No, they won't give him enough. I mean, Kirk Cousins wants to make his money.
So, right. So everybody.
He's had two straight quality seasons and the Redskins won't give him a decent contract.
But we don't know that, though. We don't know what they're offering him that he's saying no to, that they have to franchise tag him. I mean, that's the thing that worries me, is that this is a quarterback 2 years in a row that has not been able to reach a multi-year deal with the Washington Redskins. So, I mean, we don't know what the Redskins are offering him. But in my mind, you know, everybody wants to make Kirk Cousins out to be the victim. And I'm not trying to excuse the actions of the Washington Redskins, but we don't know the full story. We don't know if he's being just as much as a diva as the Redskins are a dysfunctional organization. And it's that sort of thing that makes me go, like, how can you not reach a multi-year deal with this guy 2 years in a row? Like, that's a warning flag to me.
To
Is
me,
it not?
No, to me, it's a warning flag. To me, it's just a sign of how dysfunctional the Redskins are. If I had to take my guess,
but
I'd say it's the
but
Redskins.
But they've paid players in the past. So why are they not getting it done with Kirk Cousins? This dude probably wants to make $200 million because he thinks he's, like, God's the second coming of Jesus over here.
So, all right. What do you think he's a diva?
I do believe he's a little bit of a diva.
All right. Well, I would say I think it's the Redskins at fault here.
I think it's equal parts. I think it's equal parts.
But nevertheless, to go back to the Eagles, I think that domino needs to fall first, and then we can see what are the options with Nick Foles. Because yeah. I think if Cousins goes to the Browns, I don't think Foles gets traded. I think that pretty much shuts up any sort of...
Well, what about the Jets?
Jets, yeah, that's probably another one, too, because the Jets are another desperate organization.
The Cardinals are looking for somebody, aren't they?
Yeah, the Cardinals need somebody.
There's a couple of teams out there that I don't know if any of them are as desperate as the Browns.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if I necessarily want to get rid of Nick Foles. Would it be great to have two first-round picks in addition to the one we already have? Yeah.
Well, here's a problem that the Eagles do need to either fix or just roll with it. This year's draft, they have no day two picks. They have no second or third round draft picks.
Yeah.
Do you think the Eagles do anything about that? I mean, that could be a big hole.
We just mentioned all those players that they could cut to save some cap space. Vinny Curry, Michael Kendricks, Brent Celek. They're all looking like really valuable trade targets right now. I mean, you could package, you know, one or two of them together and maybe get a second round pick.
Yep.
Like, you take a Vinnie Curry and a Michael Kendricks, you say, give us a second and a fifth.
Well, I that's definitely something that's going to be on Howie Roseman's mind, because he's going to need a day two pick.
Yeah.
Something. Either round two or round three. He needs something Saturday.
You know who could definitely get you a
or
couple?
Or is it Friday?
I don't know.
Wait,
the draft is stupid.
Now they do the draft Thursday, right? So now it's Friday.
They do it like an entire week.
Yeah.
It's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
yeah,
Sunday.
Like, does it really need to be this long?
So the draft is kind of weird because they shorten the amount of time that teams get to decide on their pick to try and speed things up. But then they extended the draft to 4 days.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be all in one weekend.
Right.
And teams had like a half hour to decide. It was ridiculous. Now, like, oh, well, we shortened it to 10 minutes, but also it's going to be a 4 or 5 day event.
Right.
Nobody wants to watch the draft for
not for four
days.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be 4 days.
God.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So, there you go. That's where we stand with the latest on the Eagles news as they head into the offseason. But before we go into a break, there's something that we need to talk about, because this has been lighting the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams on fire. This happened on Sunday at the All-Star game. We got to talk about Fergie, because this is just embarrassing. This
yeah.
rendition of the national anthem. I mean, this was all over the news. I mean,
it was.
On like ABC News, Fox News. It went everywhere.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah. So let's listen to a little bit. And yeah, let me know whenever you want to start commenting on it. So here we go. Go, Fergie.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Can we just, for the love of God,
light. That's how
yeah.
you pronounce light, right?
Can we like ban that whatever inflection, whatever the hell that's called?
That was so. it sounded like an animal.
Yeah, you sound like a dinosaur about to hatch.
Yeah, it was. She has a lot of weird pronunciations in this song.
What's so proudly wave?
Was that a word? I have no idea what that was.
Oh, God.
At the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
Sounds a little bit like Celine Dion there.
I'm the greatest singer in the world.
Yeah.
Star.
So like there's no R in it. Star.
She is, well, that, and she's all over the place. She's going so low, and she gets this breathiness, it's like, it's what are you doing? It's like, pick one style or the other. You're either going low or you're breathy. Are you trying to do, like, the happy birthday Mr. President thing? Are you trying to do some jazzy bit? Like, I'm so confused here.
Through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we were so gallantly streaming in the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
it sounds like the happy birthday, Mr. Yeah, President. Yeah. Yeah.
And also right there, is she doing like Morse code through speech or something? Because she is so staccato.
Help me.
she's channeling some Captain Kirk right there. The bombs bursting in air. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It had that like that pause go. It's a train wreck so far.
We need William Shatner to sing the national anthem after this one.
Yeah,
did she totally drop the F? Prue
gave Prue through the na.
What is Prue?
That the fla was st.
She was Prue. I want to know what that
prunes?
Is.
What was that? Prunes?
They gave prunes.
Prunes through the night.
we're up all night.
They were having some sort of trouble.
Yeah,
the bombs were bursting.
We're
let
in
me
the
tell
loo.
You,
we're in the loo a lot here over here.
Oh boy.
That you cannot tell me nobody said you probably shouldn't do whatever the hell that was.
What are you talking about, Rich? That's art. That was art.
Art?
That was art, yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was that, artistic license.
Somebody should have slapped Fergie. Rich, what are you doing?
I don't think she practiced at all. I think that she locked herself in a room and she sang in front of a mirror and she goes, that's the one.
That. Yeah, someone should have said that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Does that star spangled banner yet
way?
Hold on. What word was she trying to say?
Banner
yet way? What? So
there
I think
there were way too many syllables.
You know
that
what?
Word.
It's really sad though. I just have to say this. It's really sad that all those people could watch somebody having a stroke on live television and not do anything about it. Because that was something else, man. Yay. Token applause.
For the land of the free.
Holy
she was so
I just realized I cursed.
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry, man.
That's what that rendition does to people.
Wow. I'm sorry. That's got to be one of the
she was so proud of herself after
yeah
that. Like, so, like she's like I did it.
Yeah, she's like happy and content that she did. No,
so let's go over all the faults of this rendition. One, she can't pick a style. I don't know whether she thinks she's doing Happy Birthday, Mr. President, or
right.
she's doing a jazz
song. You hit the nail right on the head.
Or she's doing R&B. She's all over the place in terms of genres.
You hit the nail on the head. She sounds like she's trying to do Happy Birthday, Mr.
It's
President.
It's like a burlesque version of the Star Spangled
Banner. I'm expecting her to start stripping.
Yeah.
Would have made it a little bit better.
Would have made it a little bit better. The second thing that I have a problem with is she doesn't know what key she wants to sing in. Like, she goes so low, and then she gets breathy. You know?
Yep.
It's really annoying. The staccato Captain Kirk thing was annoying. The pronunciation, at some points she's nasally. At other points she's, like, doing this weird vowel sound where she's like over-emphasizing the vowels. And other times she's just completely mutilating words.
Yes.
Adding in syllables and sounds that don't even exist in the English language. I think she was possessed there for a little bit by Beelzebub. Or drunk. Or both.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't you confuse ghosts with this. No, she's clearly drunk.
I didn't say anything about she's clearly drunk.
She's clearly drunk. All right.
Satan would not have attached his name to that.
Yeah, all right. Ghost and Beelzebub would not have been attached to this.
Fair enough. But Fergie's rendition was terrible.
It was.
It was really bad. Like, I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I was like, oh, people are saying it's the worst ever. I listened to it. I was like, whoa, it's...
Right.
It's pretty bad. Right. I don't know if it's the worst ever, but it was...
I think it's up there.
It was pretty rough.
So, yeah.
I got to say, though, my parents really liked it.
Where the hell are they? They should have done the counter-argument to this.
They should have. My mom goes, well, you've never listened to jazz. And I'm like, I don't think that's jazz.
Yeah. Have you listened to music? Because I don't know. That was...
All you need to do is look at the basketball players' reactions.
Oh, my... Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, they're just straight up laughing.
Right.
They're laughing in the middle of the national anthem.
You even heard it near the end when she's closing out the song. Yeah, people are laughing.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous. I think the thing that made it so ridiculous is that she was so clearly so proud of it.
Yeah. She thought she was doing A-OK.
She thought she was just crushing it.
Yeah, and no. No. So, go backstage and have some more drinks. All right?
I think she had enough.
Well, just keep her away from the microphones.
Yeah. You know what you do? You give her an unplugged microphone, and you're like, here, sing into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Here you go. Have some fun with your imaginary karaoke. Speaking of imaginary karaoke, our exit music is playing for the sports sampler, so we're going to take a quick break. But don't go anywhere, because coming next, we got the entertainment entree, and then we got the non-fortune cookie odd news. Still plenty more shows still to come here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
21-year-old Amber Fisher and 21-year-old Joseph Polk had a marijuana grinder with a picture of Yoda on it, and then they admitted that their code word to sell pot was, quote, stoned I am. Yeah, I don't think this is an episode of Star Wars, but...
Well, this is actually the leaked script for episode 10.
Wow, 10? So, they skipped 9?
Yes.
They got high.
Right, exactly.
They forgot how to count. So this was the code for them dealing pot.
That's such a terrible code, too.
Yeah.
Stoned I am.
Also, like, are you forcing your buyers to actually mimic Yoda?
Like, you didn't do the voice. He's not legit.
Right.
Stoned I am. Wacky, is this tobacco?
I can tell you've watched a lot of Star Wars in your day.
Puff, puff, I will. Come, we must smoke. Yes.
Oh my God. I could totally imagine Yoda being like a pothead, especially when he's on Dagobah.
He kind of isn't on Dagobah.
There's all that fog around. Kind of fits.
He acts pretty crazy on Dagobah.
The first thing he grabs when he sees Luke's little camp is the food.
He's already got the munchies. Yoda is... a Jedi stoner. Yeah. Confirmed.
Confirmed. In any case, Fisher and Polk were immediately arrested.
And that's still such a stupid code.
It is.
I mean, you have stoned in the code.
Yeah.
That's like, may I please have some pot?
Yeah, you might as well just flat out said, pot may I have?
Yeah. How about, I don't know, what would be a good Star Wars code?
Moisture farms are nice.
Moisture farms.
Sure. Let's go with that. Let's go with that one. Could you just imagine going to someone else and be like, moisture farms are nice.
You better hope you have the right drug dealer.
Oh, you're going to get stabbed so fast.
This is why I'm not a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we are done. The sports sampler, all of the interesting off-season Eagles news, and then the debacle that was the Fergie national anthem. Dear God, Hopefully we never have something like that ever again.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have another one.
Yeah, at some point.
People always butcher that song. It's a tough song.
It's a tough song, but there are ways that you can make it less tough.
Yeah.
And she didn't do any of those.
In you know, reading all the stuff about the Fergie thing, I stumbled across a Jack Black version, and he did a really good job.
Yeah.
Like a shockingly good job.
Right.
So go look up Jack Black's performance and compare it.
Right. And you'll see what we're talking about when there's just things that you could do to make it easier on yourself, and she did none of them.
No.
All right, let's move on to the entertainment entree, the latest in movies, TV, and video games and all that stuff. Let's launch into it, the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
What?
Okay.
I'm playing the Florida clip already? Did I just throw everybody for a curveball?
You did.
Well, strap on in.
Oh, my God.
Because...
What is happening?
Because I was searching the internet for the random sound clip of the week, and I came across a band called Easy Cabbage from Chicago, who actually decided to put together... an actual Florida man song.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And I figure we should all take a listen to it.
Okay.
It's by the band Easy Cabbage off of their album The Return of the Living Dinner.
That's a good name.
Here it is. This is their single, Florida Man. Take it away.
Pretty rocking.
Yeah. So I don't know. That was just great. Just stumbling across this in my perusal.
What was the band?
Easy Cabbage. Easy space KEBAGE. And it's only like a minute. It's just like, it's like a perfect, like, just like get you to go crazy just for a minute. Just like Florida. Get you to go crazy. It's literally called Florida Man. So
there you go.
I figure we at least had to listen to it. What did you think?
It was pretty interesting. A whole song about Florida Man. I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
It was very fast and furious.
Right. So get you all worked up.
It was a good pump up song.
You know what? The next time we have an all Florida odd news story, that's when we'll play it.
There you go.
Get everyone ready.
I like how Florida Man, quote unquote Florida Man, has become like a thing in pop culture.
Yes, it's like its own superhero.
Right. It's become like it grew out of all the crazy stories from Florida where it just starts like a Florida man dot dot dot, you know, and people have just taken that Florida man and just made it representative of all things insane, especially things that come from Florida. It's great.
So we support any band that decides to make a song about Florida man. So shout out to Easy Cabbage over in Illinois and Chicago area. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. We love it. All right. Now let's move on to more traditional parts here in the entertainment entree. It is time for the segment where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend in movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, Mike, what do you have this week in this week in entertainment?
Well, this isn't so crazy. I'm really looking forward to this one. In movies, Annihilation comes out to select theaters this week. This sci-fi horror film features a predominantly female cast led by Natalie Portman. I love Natalie Portman. She's great. Her character volunteers to trek into an environmental disaster area that has been abandoned and cut off from society. And she does this in order to discover what happened to her husband and his previous expedition. The catch, of course, is that the 11 previous expeditions had all been fraught with disappearances, suicide, aggressive cancers, and psychological trauma. So something's going on in this environmental disaster area, and people aren't entirely sure what's up. So it looks like a pretty cool horror, sci-fi horror, mystery-type movie. Unfortunately, it did have a little bit of production issues where two producers are kind of duking it out to have final say over the final cut of the movie. One producer thought it was too intellectual and too complicated, so they wanted to make changes to the movie. Thankfully, the other producer had more clout and was like, no, we're going with the director's original vision. Unfortunately, that means that it's only coming out in select theaters and internationally via Netflix. So if you have an opportunity to go see it, check it out because it might be interesting. Some critics are already saying it's a masterpiece. I don't know if it's going to be that good, but it might be pretty good. So keep it on your radar. In television, this is the big one this week. We have the return of The Walking Dead.
Yes, Walking Dead returns from the mid-season break.
It is finally here, Sunday, February 25th.
We're both huge fans.
Both huge fans. We're going to get the season or the mid-season premiere of season 8B. Fans, of course, are eager and excited for the dramatic conclusion to the all-out war story arc. This season should promise to change the entire Walking Dead universe going forward. That is, if they follow the comics. We know that they're already making one big departure, which has already been confirmed. I won't say it here for spoiler's sake. So there's likely to be even more surprises in store. I don't think comic fans can take anything for granted. Now, I read the comics up to the current issue. So I'm like, I blew past All Out War. I'm all the way caught up. If this goes down the way that I think it's going to go down, things are going to get very, very interesting. So I really hope things play out the way, or similar to how they play out in the comics, because it could be really cool.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
I don't have any faith in the producers and writers.
Very well.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm just happy to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan again as Negan.
You just want Negan to come back.
Yeah, it's Negan show.
It's the Negan show.
Hey, everybody, time for the Negan show. Come on, Sunday. It's Negan show.
You know what's funny, Rich? You should read the comics, because Negan has a lot of page real estate in the comics. There's also a novel devoted specifically to Negan's backstory and rise in the zombie apocalypse called, I think it's like Here's Negan. Or it's time for Negan or something.
Here's
like that.
Negan!
No, I'm serious. Yeah. No, it's Here Comes Negan or something like that. There's like a whole book devoted to him. You should check it out.
I thought he was going to reference The Shining.
Yeah, I may be mixing up the two. But you should check out the comics and the books.
Pretty good. Well, I'd be happy to. I love him. Yeah. I actually really like Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
He's a great Negan.
Yeah.
It's weird because I started with the TV show and read the comics afterwards. And the comic fan's like, oh, you know, he just doesn't do a good job as Negan. I'm sitting there going, I think he's doing a fantastic job as Negan. You know what it is? He doesn't drop any F-bombs like he does in the comic.
Well, sorry.
And so people are like, ooh, it's not the real Negan. And it's like, grow up.
Yeah, it's AMC. Like, what do you want?
You don't need a whole sentence of just the F-word.
Right. Come on.
Come on. Really, people.
Yeah.
Anyway. So The Walking Dead comes back this week, finally.
Yeah, we'll be watching it.
Yes. And finally, the last thing in this week in entertainment, there is a crazy good sale right now on all PlayStation VR bundles. They start at $200 for a headset, camera, and a game. And they go up to $350 for the headset, camera, controllers, Skyrim VR, the whole kit and caboodle. So if you're thinking about jumping on the VR bandwagon, now is a great time to do so. I know specifically Dell has a deal where you get all that plus a $100 gift card. So it's like there's a lot of really good deals. To go along with that, PlayStation also has a VR game sale on the PlayStation Store, including lots of bestsellers and big title games. So once again, if you're thinking about getting into VR, Sony really wants you to buy one right now.
Fair enough.
Go check that out. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment.
You got it, pal.
Let's move on to our next topic at hand. This is personal for you, Mike, because I know you're a big fan of the Spider-Man universe, but how about the flip side? How about the all-new Venom trailer that came out this past week?
You know what's interesting is I think you hit – so I'm going to start off by saying I have some problems with the Venom trailer.
Okay, that answers my question. All right, thank you. Let's move on.
Next segment. Because I want to say I think you hit the problem on the head without even realizing it, because you said, you know, you're a big fan of the Spider-Man universe, but what about the other side, this Venom trailer? And I think that's the problem here, is that everybody's looking at Venom as a separate entity, when really, and this is the problem I have with the trailer, is that Venom and Spider-Man are intrinsically linked. You can't really separate the two. Without getting into it too much, Venom is supposed to be the antithesis or the negative of Spider-Man. So he's like the inverse of him, his shadow, the venom that poisons him, yada yada yada, all those analogies. And Venom is created when Spider-Man rejects the alien symbiote costume and it bonds with Eddie Brock. What makes it so unique is that the Venom costume absorbed all of Spider-Man's powers and also developed a hatred for Peter Parker and Spider-Man for rejecting him. And so when it bonds with Eddie Brock, who also happens to hate Peter Parker, it creates this character whose sole mission is to ruin Peter Parker / Spider-Man's life by hiding in plain sight and terrorizing him and being that shadow that always follows him around, who knows his secret identity, knows who he is and where he's going and where he works. The trailer doesn't have any of that.
No Spider-Man, yeah.
No Spider-Man, no Spider-Man whatsoever. It's just Tom Hardy looking angry. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of early to jump to conclusions about this, but I've heard reports that Spider-Man isn't going to be a part of it. And I just have to sit back and scratch my head and go, how can you have Venom without Spider-Man? As I just detailed it, they very much are two sides of one coin. So that's kind of upsetting to me.
Can the symbiote be on its own without Spider-Man? Does the symbiote have to go through Spider-Man?
It does. Yes, because, like I said, the reason why Venom has the abilities he has is because it bonds with Spider-Man first. It learns how to create webbing and how to climb walls and how to do all these things. It's why Spider-Man can't read Venom with his spider sense. He can't detect its presence because it learns and adapts from bonding with Spider-Man. That's what I mean. So much of Venom is predicated on first bonding with Spider-Man, which is why I don't understand what they're doing with this movie. Is Venom supposed to be an anti-hero? Is he going to be like, oh, a vigilante for some warped sense of justice?
Right. That's the way I was getting from the teaser trailer. I think it's going to be more along the lines of like an anti-hero.
I don't want it to be a military science experiment gone wrong. And I'm like 80% certain that's how it's going to end
up. Yeah, probably.
No, I really do fear that that's the way it's going to go. I mean, you just look at the synopsis in Google and it's like, one of Marvel's most enigmatic, complex, and badass characters comes to the big screen, starring Academy Award-nominated actor Tom Hardy as the lethal protector Venom. They're going to do like a Punisher-type deal.
Right.
This just frustrates me so much. He's not... That's not what Venom is. It's in the name, Venom. He's a poison to Spider-Man. He says as much in the animated series. I am a poison to you. We are a poison. We are Venom. They're taking everything that's cool about the character and just stripping it for parts. And it just really pisses me off. Mm. This year is going to be so upsetting for me in movies. You got Solo, which nobody wants. You got Jurassic World, again, nobody wants. You got Venom.
Nobody wants.
Where they're just like totally misreading the character. What else of my childhood do you want to destroy? What are you going to do next? Toy Story goes to Las Vegas or something? You know, just... Rich is like, oh,
wait, this might be a good idea. Wait, what? What do you want to do in Vegas?
You know, I feel like they just want to destroy everything I hold near and dear from the 90s. Mm. They just want to kill it. They just want to keep beating it until it's dead.
Well, here's my – I'm actually going to be the optimistic person here.
Let me hear your perspective because you don't have a horse in the race.
Right. I honestly don't. But I do like Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy is one of those guys that rarely turns in a crappy performance when it comes to acting. I have to believe that for Tom Hardy to have signed on to this project, I feel like he feels like at least the movie has a direction and knows where it's going.
I hope so.
Tom Hardy's not one of those guys that just cashes in just for the sake of cashing in, you know?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys, he chooses what roles he wants to do.
Right. He did a really good job as Bane, I thought, in Batman. He was Bane, right?
Yeah, he was Bane. Yeah, that's right.
He did a good job as Bane, so he sort of has that experience being that mysterious... villainous presence,
That's right.
That unstoppable force, sort of kind of what Venom is. So, I mean, he has experience doing it, and I think he would make a much better Venom than Topher Grace.
Yeah, that's
so
a good start.
That is an excellent start. He more fits the, I think, version of Eddie Brock that people have in their heads. I'm just really upset at the lack of Spider-Man in this movie. I don't know if I can get past that.
So here's a problem. This movie's getting produced by 20th Century Fox, not Marvel. Do you think...
20th Century or Sony?
Or is it... Shoot.
I think
is it Sony? One of them.
I think it's Sony. Yeah, it's Sony.
Sorry. Got my movie studios mixed up.
Yeah.
Sony. Sorry. Sony's doing this one. It's not Marvel.
Right.
Is there any hope that Spider-Man can get into this?
I mean, so Sony owns both Spider-Man and Venom, but I don't see a way for Spider-Man to fit in here. The way that the teaser trailer is presented, and I know it's just a teaser, it could be completely different, but the way it's presented makes you think that Spider-Man is not going to be in this. This was in the works, I think, you know, roughly at the same time when they were trying to get Spider-Man soft rebooted in the Marvel Universe. So I don't know if there was time to get Spider-Man in this movie. So I don't think there's any chance of Spider-Man being in it. If it is, maybe a cameo near the end. And the bigger question I have is where does this fit in with Marvel's larger plans? Are they going to try and bring Venom along with Spider-Man into the MCU? Because we know Spider-Man is heading over to the MCU.
Right.
So does Venom come along as like a, hey, I also have powers, maybe I can help out? Is Venom its own thing, completely separate of Spider-Man in the MCU?
Yeah.
It's a movie in a strange position, and that's really upsetting because Venom is a great character, and he was done a disservice back in the early 2000s. I feel like he's being done a disservice this time by being separated out from everything else.
Yeah, I agree with you that the Spider-Man...
I'm going to give you either a digital copy or the DVD version of the animated Venom arc because there's like five episodes where Venom is in, both as a bad guy and as a good guy.
And you have this?
And I do. And it's like an hour and 15 minutes for all five episodes. And you'll see where I'm coming from, because it's so much better than any film version of Venom so far. And they're just continuing the trend of just crapping all over this character.
You're like, why don't you just make this into a live action movie?
They really should. They really honestly should. So, like, so to give you proper perspective,
yeah.
Venom is Spider-Man's, like,
Joker?
Kind of. I'd say the Green Goblin is Joker.
Okay.
But Venom is up there. Venom is, like, Spider-Man's big arch nemesis type character. So it'd be akin to, like, you know, probably like the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how imagine them mishandling the Joker for Batman.
Right.
It's the same way. This is Spider-Man's, one of his big baddies. So okay. It's upsetting.
So there you go. Mike is hitting the panic button on the Venom teaser trailer.
I am. I slam it with my fist.
I say if Tom Hardy's in it, I think it's worth a shot. But I think the jury will still be out.
I'll still see it. I won't like it, but I'll see it.
All right, let's get to a movie that we both saw and we actually both liked, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a quick movie review, because me and Mike, we both went out to the theater over the weekend before it snowed, and we got to go see the movie everybody's talking about right now in the Marvel Universe, Black Panther. And with that, I think we should play a little bit of spoiler music. So here we go. We're getting into spoiler territory here.
It's a spoiler! Ooh, it's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
I love that sounder. But anyway.
It is a great one.
So, yeah, Black Panther. What would you like to say about it?
So, we sort of just saw this movie on a whim.
Yes.
We talked about it.
It got really hyped. Everybody was hyping this movie.
It got really hyped really fast.
Right.
Like, ridiculously fast in the past month. The hype just went off the charts. I think it was, we recorded last week's episode, and I was like, Rich, do you want to go see Black Panther? And you're like, sure. I'm like, okay. Let's try and grab tickets for opening night.
Yeah.
See if we can go see it. And we did, though.
Yes, we did.
It worked out. And I was really pleasantly surprised by the whole thing.
Me too.
This is not a movie that was on my Marvel Cinematic Universe radar at all. I was like, Black Panther, he was pretty cool in Civil War, but I could do without him. After seeing this movie, I have so much more respect for the character, for the story, for the backdrop. It was a really unique movie for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The first thing that pops out to me was I was just completely blown away at every turn by the setting. So it's set in Wakanda, the fictional small African, well, not quote-unquote small African village, which is really a secret metropolis of super high-tech futuristic marvels. So you have this, like, genre blending of this, like, African tribal culture with this hyper technologically advanced society.
Right.
And seeing those two together, because they have
vibranium or something.
The vibranium, yeah. the really valuable mineral, the one that makes Captain America's shield. And that's allowed them to progress like Atlantis style, just like above and beyond everybody else in the world. But they've stayed hidden away. But I loved that combination of like that African tribalism type stuff, where they had, like, you know, the traditional garb, and they still had a traditional way of looking at things, but then, you know, that juxtaposed to the really high tech stuff. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah,
I thought it was really exciting visually and thematically.
Yeah, it was an interesting blending of the two contrasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that jumped out to you?
Yeah, I agree with what you say there. One of the things that really surprised me in this movie was Michael B. Jordan as the bad guy in this movie. He, not only is he a powerful actor, but I really felt like his villain had really substantial depth. Like, he had a reason to be a villain, and
right.
and he actually had, like, a philosophy that was contrarian to the the people in power at Wakanda. And so it made sense that he wanted to lead this revolution, that he wanted to change Wakanda and lead it in a different way, where he wants to start the next war because he believes Wakanda should take over Earth. He thinks they're the advanced civilization. We should be in charge, not all these other countries.
And it's interesting because, and you know, I like what you say about the villain having real depth, because it's interesting in that, you know, he wants to lead this revolution, the villain, but at the end of the day, Wakanda, specifically Prince or King T'Challa, is like, you know what, we shouldn't take over people, but we should have a larger global role. And so he sort of took a little bit of the villain's ideas in the fact that they should have a larger role, but he's doing it for good.
Right.
So it's almost like the villain not gave him that idea, but sort of made him think of it differently. But like you said, the villain had an actual reason to be there, unlike a lot of Marvel villains.
Right.
They're just bad dudes. Like,
right. He wasn't a throwaway villain.
Right, exactly. And it's sort of a shame that he's not going to be another Black Panther.
Right.
Movies.
I was actually disappointed. I was like, this guy should stick around. Like, they should have like another Civil War or something.
Right. Well, we'll let you guys find out for yourselves. Go watch the movie for why he won't be around. But, you know, just to spin off the villain thing, all the characters in general were fantastic. I loved T'Challa. He was great. He's one of my favorite Marvel characters now. He was just this combination of soft-spoken but fierce, and also he has that, like, dry sort of humor going on, too. So he was really good. I loved his younger sister. What was her name? Princess Shuri or something like that? She was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find her now. in the cast thing. You know who I'm talking about, though? Sure, yeah.
She's in charge of the techno...
The tech, yeah. She was Q.
Yeah, she's essentially... Yeah, right. She's essentially Q.
I thought she was amazing. Every time she was on screen, I was laughing. I was like, this person's awesome. But all the characters were immediately likable.
There are girls in it. Michonne
is in it. Dead. Yeah, and she had a good role, too. Like I said, the whole cast was great. I really enjoyed all of them. There were a few negatives, though.
Mm-hmm.
One of which being, and I think we're both in agreement when I say we wished it had a larger connection to the expanded universe.
Yeah, that's my biggest gripe with this movie. I really thought with this movie coming out so close to Infinity War, I thought a great way to tie this in would be that Wakanda has one of the stones, or Thanos has some sort of interest in it.
That's what's going to happen, though, right?
I hope. I don't know.
You look at the trailers for Infinity War, and see, this is where I guess I got ahead of myself. You look at the trailers for Infinity War, and you're like, oh, they're in Wakanda. Black Panther's coming out. And you just immediately make that connection.
Right. But unfortunately, in this movie, there's no direct connection.
No.
So... on that basis alone, this movie stands as just a pure origin story, which is, to me, a little disappointing.
Yeah, I mean...
I would have liked to have seen a bigger connection with the Avengers or the Stones or something along those lines.
Here's the thing, is I don't mind a good origin story. Every hero needs a good origin story. But you already soft-launched Black Panther in Civil War.
Yeah.
And so it's like, here's this character. Oh, wait, now we're going to explain the origin. That's not to say it wasn't interesting and it wasn't fun, and they had this whole Lion King thing going on with his father, which I really appreciated. but I get what you're saying. It does end up being a standalone origin movie instead of something that
connected
feels like it's connected and part of a larger world. I do have to say, though, is that more a problem with fans' expectations or with the movie, or do you think that we're warranted in having those expectations given what Marvel has built so far? Like, if there wasn't this MCU, this movie would be a fantastic standalone movie, but because we were expecting it to have that connection, or do you think Marvel has some liability for teaching us to expect that connection?
I think Marvel should have thrown a bone. I was a little disappointed that there just wasn't some sort of overall tie-in.
Right.
You know?
But you get what I'm saying, though? Like, it's only because we've come to expect there to be a tie-in.
Well, but, well, that, but also the release, the timing of this movie coming up right before Infinity War. If they were gonna do that originally, maybe delay this until after Infinity War. You know.
Well, I mean, it was either. I don't think they could delay it until after, just given the timeline of it. But
yeah, I don't know.
I think Marvel has set up a standard where we expect these movies to be connected, and when they're not. It feels like it's lacking something.
Well, for the current series of films in this phase of the MCU,
they absolutely should be connected,
right? Because you're coming up on Infinity War, which is going to conclude
right.
a major phase in the series. So to me, if you don't have a plot element that ties in, I feel like that's kind of a big negative on Marvel's part.
Yeah, especially since it's the last one before Infinity War.
Right.
Like, and this was the penultimate movie.
Right. So, to me, that I feel like I'm not out of line saying that there shouldn't have been some sort of connection with either the Infinity Stones or Avengers or something like that.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it's what we said, you know, immediately after the movie. We got out in the parking lot. We're like, boy, we're really disappointed they didn't have an Infinity Stone. I think we were both expecting them to reveal the last one, didn't we?
Yeah, that's what I
thought. Or maybe they did and I just totally missed it. I don't know. Was there like an obscure reference
or something? I don't remember seeing anything.
No, I don't remember seeing anything. But overall, the movie was really good.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
Very happy with it.
Actually, I think it was one of the best Marvel movies in quite some time.
What would you give it?
Oh, I'd give it like a solid 8 out of 10-ish.
Yeah, I'm around there. I'd say 8 or 8.5. Yeah. I definitely enjoyed it.
It's comfortably in that 8 to 8.5 range.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, definitely worth your time as far as we're concerned. Go see it in theaters if you can. But if not, wait till it comes out on Netflix and enjoy a nice Saturday night in. Maybe it snows and you can go enjoy it. But in the end, definitely a movie we think you should go see. But for now, that will wrap up the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, got the odd news, non-Portuguese odd news coming your way. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
A Wyoming high school student who was able to build a nuclear reactor was...
Wait, what? Is that literally the first line of the story?
Yep. A Wyoming high school senior who built a nuclear reactor was disqualified from the International Science and Engineering Fair this month on a technicality. It seems that the senior had competed in too many science fairs.
What? How's that fair? It's like, oh, he's so smart. He's competed in so many. He literally built a nuclear reactor, something that rocket scientists have a hard time with, and he gets disqualified?
Yeah, sadly. He still is planning to graduate from high school this month and wants to go to the South Dakota School of Mines. I don't know if it's actually Mines.
Yeah, wait, the School of Mines.
Yeah, okay. M-I-N-E-S. I don't know if that's like a place or if it actually means landmines or something.
Landmines?
Welcome to campus. Good luck.
If you can make it to class, you've already passed.
Jeez.
Wow. What is that? That's the incoming freshman class.
There you go, the South Dakota School of Mines.
That's not even what the story was about.
No, but sometimes it's little things.
Yeah, anyway.
Like a landmine!
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for Tura!
Oh, yeah. We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, which leaves one segment left remaining. here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike, I believe it's one of your favorite segments.
It absolutely is one of my favorite segments. It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining, non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. Never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me, which means that I've never seen them before, ensuring that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get going on an epic journey. Yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
Away.
Let's go to Michigan first.
All right, good old Michigan. That's the hand state, isn't it?
Okay, sure.
Or is that Wisconsin?
The hand state. I don't know what you're talking about.
Michigan.
Oh, you're talking about the actual shape of the state?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the hand.
Yeah.
Because it's got the thing and the thumb. I don't know. I've always heard it described as the hand state. No?
I don't know. I never heard of it as the hand state.
God,
but what?
Richard. God, you know.
I was like, are they handy? Or you're talking
they're
about...
very handy in Michigan.
Yeah, like, I don't...
They're very, very handy.
Tim the Toolman Taylor, I think, is from Michigan. Yeah, that's right, because he's a fan of Detroit Lions.
Is he?
In the Home Improvement show, yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. That was a good show.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Solid show.
It gets crapped on sometimes, but I liked it.
Yeah. And,
anyway.
Yeah, and the fact that Tim Allen was doing cocaine on the sign. But oh well. Yeah. Well, when you're doing that much cocaine, that
those are the only sounds you can make.
Right. There's the only sounds you can make.
All right then.
Anyway, so this
that was weird.
This first story here in Michigan, a Michigan pizzeria is going to try to break the Guinness World Record for largest delivery of pizza by delivering a 72-inch pie.
Give me pizza. I want pizza!
Hey, are you ready to play? Now set down the pizza and bring me some chicken. Throw it on top and let me put my in. Guacamole!
Meatballs!
Whipped cream pouring like waterfalls!
Here's a lot of salsa to make it hot.
And here's some Coumadin to prevent the blood clot. Toss the fish, then philosophize.
Why do we exist? Why, oh why? Pizza!
Yeah, so there you go, some pizza.
P-I-Z-Z-A.
Always got to love a pizza story here.
Yep.
Steve Malley, the owner of Malley Sports Grill and Bar, is leading a team to construct this massive pizza. But remember, I said this is a delivery.
Right.
So he's got to work with his chefs and then his delivery team to try to deliver this 72-inch pie.
So 72 inches is some feet.
Six feet. There you go. Good job.
Shut up, Rich.
Yay.
You guys know I can't math. I should have figured it out before I started talking.
Yeah, that was a good...
I've
yeah.
learned my lesson. It is 6 feet.
Yes.
I feel like that's not that hard to deliver. You just pop that sucker in the trunk, or you put it on top of a van roof, right?
But you got to deliver it.
Okay.
6 feet's pretty big.
Dude, have you never carried like a folding table?
But folding table folds up.
Yeah, but like any piece of furniture is pretty big. And it's probably, you know, a pizza's not that heavy. I feel like it wouldn't be that difficult.
Well, the previous record...
I feel like we could do that.
Well, the previous record was 54 inches.
They weren't even trying.
So
that was amateur hour.
He's trying to beat it by doing a 72-inch pizza.
Okay.
The owner said that he decided to do a 72-inch pizza because that is the size of his doors, of his double doors. So that's good. He thought thinking ahead. Very good.
There you go. That's smart.
That's half the battle.
If he had done a 73-inch pizza, it would have been game over.
Right. No way he can get out of the restaurant.
See, I would have taken the easy route. I would have done a 55-inch pizza. That's why world records are so annoying.
Yeah, all you got to do is one more.
Yeah, just 1 inch, and it's like, oh, you win.
Well, this guy's going to try and do 72 inches.
Okay.
Malley has said that the hardest part is going to be moving the pizza. And he said that...
But I don't think it's going to be as difficult as people think. Just get two people to carry it.
But then, but you also got to put it in the car, and it's got to not move. Dude,
get a van, strap that thing to the roof with some bungee cords.
On the roof, it's going to be cold by the time it gets to the
You just
got to
deliver it. It doesn't got to be warm.
There's got to be criteria.
What are the
for
criteria?
This?
Does it have to be warm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah, then at that point, you could just do something like at the grocery store or something.
Okay, so it's got to be warm.
Yeah.
How far away do they have to deliver it? What if they're just delivering it down the street?
Okay, there has to be some sort of movement, and it has to be warm. I think those are the rules that I've just made up.
Well, so you strap it to the roof, you deliver it two doors over. Does that count? How far away do they have to travel? Is there a minimum distance? Because they could be like, oh, they walk outside, they turn around, and they deliver it to the store next to them. That's a delivery. See, this is why... The Guinness Book of World Records needs to hire us because we think of stuff like
that. Yeah.
It's like, no, it has to be, you have to physically leave the location with a car.
Yeah, this has to go into a car.
In order for it to be counted as a delivery. You have to get it into the person's house.
You can't
just leave it on the doorstep.
You can't walk it to the person. This has to go into a car.
Yeah.
So
you have to get it into the building it's delivered to, and it has to stay warm.
Yes.
These are all criteria that I feel like they have to meet.
Why are we not hired by Guinness Book of World Records?
They just don't have that same quality of quality control that we have here on the podcast.
Right. We think about every angle.
Yeah. And then ignore everything.
Malley said that the pizza is going to be available on his restaurant's menu and says that if you want to be the first person to order it, it will be $300. With an additional $50 for extra cheese, an extra $50 for meat toppings.
Time out.
What?
$300?
Yes.
That doesn't sound right.
Okay.
That's $25 per 12 inches. That is way too expensive.
Yeah, you know.
You don't agree? $25 for a 12-inch pizza?
Usually when I order a pizza...
Do you know what a 16-inch pizza costs at Ambler Pizza?
Tell me, you know.
It's like $12.
But you get it delivered.
No, I don't get it delivered.
Yeah, you don't get it delivered.
All right, so you tack on a $5 delivery charge. It's still only $17 for 16 inches. This is $25 for 12. That's crazy.
Call Ambler Pizza up. Tell them they
should do this.
Tell them they need to do a 73-inch pizza.
A 73-inch pizza. They probably would. They got big ovens.
Right. There you go. We're going to beat let's beat them.
We should totally do it.
You know, this guy thinks he's being, freaking savant over here.
Yeah.
There you go. Call Amber Pizza up right now. Are they open? They're probably not open. Damn it.
They've been closed.
Call them tomorrow.
And you guys got to make a 73-inch pizza.
Right.
Here's another question. Is this a round pizza or is this a Sicilian pizza? Because 6 feet. That can be misleading.
I believe it's a round pizza.
Okay, so 6 feet in.
Yeah, pie. 72-inch pie.
Diameter? Circumference? Diameter.
Diameter, yes.
Radius.
Diameter. No, not radius. Radius is half of it. Diameter.
Diameter straight across.
Correct.
Math.
I thought you said meth for a minute.
No, meth.
Yes, I need some pizza. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's me. I just randomly say meth in the middle of the conversation. So, what did you think about that movie we just saw? Meth.
Meth. Where's the meth? I need a meth. I need a meth. Meth.
Anyway. What was that? This story is going wildly off the rails.
Anyway, the point is, if you live in Michigan and you're next to Malley's Sports Grill and Bar, If you're willing to be the first person to try and get the 72-inch pizza delivered to you, and you have $300 lying around, you can order it. It's $50 for extra cheese, $50 for an extra meat topping, or $35 for an extra vegetable topping. So
that is ridiculously expensive.
Well, they're trying to make money off of it.
Obviously. So can people just order this whenever they want?
I believe so, starting now, yeah. Because they want to break the world record.
A 6-foot pizza is just stupidly pointless. Like, how do you have a slice of 6-foot pizza? Like, how big is a slice? It's like the size of a table.
Yeah. Like, you're gonna have to cut it up a different way. You can't do a traditional.
You would have to cut it in like a grid.
Right. Yeah.
You can't just cut it into eighths.
Right.
Like, here's your foot and a half of pizza.
Right.
Well, instead of having like 2-3 slices, there you go. It's just one enormous human sized slice of pizza. That would be really weird. Having a slice of pizza like half your body length.
Yeah.
Is that creepy?
It is.
How would you eat that? Do you even have the arm length to eat
so
that?
So it's 6 feet in diameter, so that means if you actually did try to cut it from the center, that means you're getting a 3-foot slice of pizza.
3-foot
slice.
That's
half of your body size.
That's actually kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think my arms are long enough to eat that.
Right. You're getting something that's half of your body.
Yeah.
You're going to have to cut it into a grid.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
I think we've put more thought into the logistics of this.
Than I think the owner did.
Than the owner did, yeah.
All right, so let's call Ambler up, tell him that we're going to beat the record. 73 inches.
73 inches coming up.
But we need the cheaper price point, though.
Yes, exactly.
That's the only way we're doing this.
Yeah.
All right. That story was
just bonkers.
Let's move on to our next story here, and we're going to the great state of Tennessee in this one.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah, you'll be safe. unless you're dealing with this person here. A 75-year-old Tennessee grandmother is now facing narcotics distribution charges for operating a, quote, opioid supermarket from her residence.
Gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
A supermarket.
Yes.
Opioid supermarket.
Yes.
Wow.
From a Tennessee grandmother.
Now, do they have brand names or is it just store generics?
Well, maybe it's in my ultimate form!
75-year-old Betty Jean Jordan was arrested last Friday at her home. The wheelchair-bound Jordan, who is dubbed the Kingpin Granny by local cops, was officially collared following a lengthy undercover investigation by the sheriff's office. During the probe, agents were able to purchase pills from the 75-year-old. Her home was then raided. The search of her home yielded more than 1,000 pills in her possession.
That's a lot.
Yep. Including the following: painkillers like morphine and oxycodone. And Xanax.
Wow.
She had a nice variety.
Yeah, good selection.
In addition, they also found that she had $12,000 in loose cash.
That is a lot of money to just keep lying around.
Hello!
Yeah, that's not from the casino.
I would not feel comfortable just having that lying around.
Hello!
Come on,
how many bills that is.
Come on, Granny, give me some of that money. It's my birthday.
Yeah, come on, Granny.
You're going to get $2. Damn it!
$2. Back in my day, a quarter was all you needed.
Hello!
Charged with 6 felony narcotics counts, Jordan was immediately booked into the county jail. She was released after posting a $50,000 bond, so...
Well, that's not surprising, given how much money she had lying around.
Yeah, they might search further into her banking history. But, wow, the Kingpin Granny.
That is crazy. Like, think about how... Like, she's just this little old wheelchair-bound lady.
Yeah.
And she's just like a drug kingpin.
Yeah.
Like, nobody suspects the old
people.
It's
like something from, like, Breaking Bad or something.
It really is.
You know? You have Gus Fring, who operates the fast food restaurant. There you go. She's the grandmother that does drugs on the side.
nobody would suspect the granny.
Right.
It's a great cover.
Hide in plain sight.
That's right.
Here's some cookies and some oxycodone.
What?
What a great combination. The grandkids always love the visit.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Hello!
All right, let's get to our next story here, going to China.
Okay. Wow, I don't think we haven't been to China in a while in the odd news.
Yeah, quite a long time.
Yeah.
Officials at a Chinese railway station have to now ask passengers not to crawl into the x-ray machines because a woman decided that she could not refuse to part with her handbag.
What?
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
So let me get this straight. She didn't want to part with her handbag. So she crawled into the x-ray machine with it?
Correct.
That seems really dangerous. And also, you really can't just, like, you're standing right there. Like, where do you think this handbag is going?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
I mean, she's waiting on the other side of the x-ray machine. It's not like the bag is, like, taking some crazy journey.
Yeah. Staff at the Duong. I'm gonna go.
What
with
was that?
I think it might be Duong.
Duong.
maybe I don't know. Maybe Jackie Chan can help me here. Yeah, Jackie Chan, I need your help here. Staff at the Duong railway station. Which is in the southern part of China, said that a woman was traveling during the Lunar New Year rush on Sunday. She had...
Is that a thing?
Apparently it is in China, yeah.
The Lunar New Year rush?
The Lunar New Year rush.
Okay. Is that their rush hour?
It's party time. That Lunar New Year, man, gets me going.
Woo.
Gets everybody going, including Jackie Chan.
Of course. Gets him going. That's not him talking. Yeah, it clicked,
yes,
didn't
it?
Dying.
Anyway,
now you're not gonna be able to stop thinking of that.
This woman attempted to take her purse with her through the security scanner, but she was told the bag would have to go through the separate x-ray machine. At that point, that's when security camera footage shows that the woman placed her bag on the conveyor belt and then decided to crawl into the machine to, quote, protect it.
From what? What do you think's going to happen to it in there?
Yeah, this is, I don't know.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
So, was she trying to protect it from the radiation? Or,
yeah.
I don't understand what she thinks she's protecting it from. She's like, oh, I know. I'll absorb all of the cancer-causing radiation so my bag won't get it. I don't understand what her thought process is here.
The footage also shows security guards laughing as the woman woman climbs in and out of the machine. So that's great. The security guards didn't even care.
This is security's fault more than her fault.
They're just laughing.
You could stop her. You are security.
This is the end of the day on the Lunar New Year rush. You're like, this lady's climbing into the x-ray machine.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's your time, lady. Go ahead. she later said to police that, quote, it's her favorite handbag, and that, quote, she couldn't bear to be away from it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
More likely, she had something illegal in there and was trying to distract from it.
Well, station officials have to remind all passengers now that, quote, you are not supposed to enter the machines as the x-ray radiation can be harmful.
This is why society is doomed.
Yes.
Because, like, think about all warning labels and warnings like that are in place because people have attempted that at one point or another.
Yep.
So they now have to tell every passenger, don't climb in the x-ray machine because some lady climbed into the x-ray machine.
Yep.
Thank you. There's warning labels on hair dryers. Don't use in the shower because
somebody did it.
Somebody used a hair dryer in the shower.
Thank you, random Chinese woman in Dong. Yeah, so thank you.
That's why we can't have nice things, guys.
All right, guess what? The rest of my stories are our Florida stories.
All right.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's do this one here. I know you like these random theft stories here.
Yep.
A Florida man who is suspected of stealing toilet plumbing from public restrooms was officially arrested after he was caught selling the brass fixtures to a local metal recycler, according to deputies.
What, haven't we had a story similar to this in the past?
Yep, and it happened again. This is where we're at in society.
And, you know, the first time this happened, I was like, I didn't even know you could do that. And now it's happening again, and I'm still thinking, I can't believe people actually do this.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
36-year-old Doug Garner was charged with two counts of dealing in stolen property and narcotics possession. He was also charged with additional counts of drug possession as well. But the main story here is that for three times in January, sheriff's deputies were responding to calls in the local DeBerry Park reporting of stolen bathroom plumbing. In all, 16 times brass plumbing fixtures were stolen from the public toilets and urinals at the Lake Monroe Park, according to the sheriff's office.
They didn't think to, like, put a cop there?
Yeah, after like the 10th time, like...
It's maybe... like, well, gosh, this has happened 12 times. Do you think we should put an extra patrol? Nah.
Not until 15.
Yeah, it won't happen a 13th time.
That's when we should put a guard there.
Like, really? God.
The local agency spokesman said that altogether, the state lost over $3,600 in brass fixtures.
I'm sure that they're not going to, you know, they're not going to go bankrupt, but it's kind of ridiculous that they lost that much money because they allowed the same crime to happen 16 times.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Keep an eye out for it, you know? Man.
Deputies contacted a local metal recycler and learned that Gardner had seven different transactions last month involving different brass toilet fixtures at that business. Fingerprints taken of the pipes at Lake Monroe Park were also matched to Gardner, further implicating him. But for a little
It sounds like it was an easy case to solve.
Yeah.
If they just put a little effort into it.
Right. You know, didn't wait until the 12th one that got stolen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, apparently you can make some money.
I'm going to start stealing bathroom fixtures. So what exactly is the dude stealing? Like faucet and handles?
Anything brass.
Or the piping?
Yeah, anything that's brass. Because that's what can be recycled.
Brass. I'm trying to, like I don't know. I can't think of, like, what a brass bathroom fixture would look like.
Well, I'm sure it's any, you know, the fixtures. So, yeah, the faucet or something like that.
But they don't look brass to me.
Well, they could be.
Then again, I don't really know what I'm looking for. So.
Yeah, you don't have sticky fingers when it comes to public toilet plumbing.
No. I try to avoid public toilets as much as possible because they're gross.
Also, that's just disgusting.
I don't want to touch that stuff.
Right. And this guy's openly, like, trying to, you know, jar things off of it.
I don't know.
Public toilets and urinals. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be down there.
Yeah, no. It's gross enough. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, that's a gross angle to the story I hadn't even considered.
Yeah.
Ew.
Okay.
He's, like, on the ground, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He deserves the money.
All right, let's get to our next Florida story here.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, this story, this Florida couple here might have some stomach aches here. A Florida man and woman were captured on surveillance video, making off with more than $2,000 worth of various brands of antacid medications from a grocery store.
Okay, that's not the most thrilling thing to steal.
Hello!
That's a practical theft, it sounds like. Although that is a lot of it.
That's way too much.
Yeah.
Officers discovered on tape that the couple stole... We got a whole list here.
Oh, okay.
The couple stole 29 boxes of Nexium.
Yeah, that's way too much.
Yeah.
That's way too much.
You have some serious stomach problems if you need all that.
They're like, well, we're going to go to a wing eating contest, so we need all of the antacids.
Yeah. Wait, that's not it. They also stole 3 boxes of Prilosec, 4 boxes of Lansoprazole.
Yep.
17 boxes of Zegerid. 5 boxes of Omeprazole, whatever. And 3 boxes of Prevacid.
Jesus.
Wow.
That's a lot of drugs.
Yes.
And they all do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not like they're stealing different drugs.
According to the grocery store, it cost them $2,159. Wow. I'm glad they managed to work it all out.
Yeah. Were they planning to sell it? Is there a big market for...
Is there a black market item for antacids?
It just seems unnecessary. It's not all that expensive.
They managed to conceal all 61 boxes and make their way out of the store without being caught. However, there was video surveillance footage which clearly makes out their faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't casually steal 61 bottles of medicine. It's not like you're slipping a candy bar in your pocket. This is a grocery cart full of this stuff.
Yeah.
Where did they hide it all?
I guess
61 boxes.
Underneath their coats and sweaters and everything.
That's a lot, though.
It is.
Like, have you ever stopped to think how much that really is?
Not until today. 61 boxes of antacids.
Man, that's crazy.
Their faces have been posted to local police departments and on the local news stations. Anyone with additional information is asked to call Detective Carl Toto. Yes, that's his name. Sure, yes. I mean, the detective is Toto, so...
I bless the antacids down in Africa.
At the local grocery store near my house.
Oh, man. Detective Toto.
Yeah.
That's great.
If you check out the websites and you happen to know people, call Detective Carl Toto up and get a reward.
I want to call and just sing that song to him.
Yeah.
I'll make a special exception and drive all the way here just to arrest me.
Any excuse I get to play Africa, I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
All right, and I got one more odd news story here, also from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, one more to end our weekly gathering of odd news here. And this one is just great. Here you go. I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
A Florida man who was found just wandering naked on Sunday afternoon in the parking lot of a plumbing business and strip mall was jailed after he failed to give police a plausible reason why he was without clothes.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, this feels so good. I think that's everybody's natural reaction to being at a plumbing store.
Yeah.
So,
the unidentified 31-year-old Florida man was taken into custody and charged with exposure of sexual organs.
That charge always gets me.
Yep, this is true. So the naked incident happened at 4:30 p.m. on Sunday.
Nice.
A caller told police dispatchers that the man was walking around a shopping parking lot naked. Officers arrived and attempted to talk to the man. That's when the man briefly ran around the parking lot and then gave up. He had enough.
You'll never catch me. On second thought, I give up.
Yeah, you know what? Just talk to me. Okay. Does this really count as, like, escaping?
I don't think so. He tried to run, but he didn't really give it his full effort.
Yeah.
man, I'm so out of shape.
The way you read it makes it sound like he literally just ran around in a couple circles and then just stopped.
Yeah, I just gave up.
Oh, my God.
So after the police officers then caught up with him, boy, after that thrilling escape.
Yeah.
Then they asked him, why are you naked? He then gave multiple excuses as to why he was naked.
Okay.
I got four listed here in the news report here.
Wow. Okay.
All right. First, he said that, quote, he was robbed of everything. So, okay.
Okay. So you don't call the police, you just wander around naked. Well, they took my clothes. I guess I'll just wander around this parking lot for a while.
Oh.
So then his second excuse was simply that, quote, I guess I crap my pants and I have no other clothes to change into.
So wait. So he goes from, oh, I was robbed. He goes from, oh, I was robbed to, oh, I must have crapped myself.
Yep, and he had no other, you know, secondary clothes.
Oh, my God. Fantastic. Two wildly different stories.
Yep.
It's not even an iteration of the first story.
Right.
It's just a completely different story.
Yep. Oh, we're going to get... Here's number three. He then claimed that, quote, he was walking along the street and that a homeless person needed his clothes. Oh, he was being a saint. I was trying to give my clothes to people who needed them.
Even his socks and underwear?
Yes,
like everything?
Yes.
You guys, look at my dirty girl.
Yeah, yeah. Needed everything. All the dirty stuff.
All the dirty stuff. That's... Okay. So, oh, man, the story is just... insane. Go ahead. What's the last reason?
And then finally, he also had another excuse in which he said that, quote, I lost all of my clothes. All of them.
He just lost them.
Yeah, just lost them. He woke up, all the clothes gone.
They're just, he misplaced them.
Like, that is such, obviously this is fake. But
did
imagine,
you leave the house naked?
Right, but right. Imagine a world if that really could happen. You just wake up from your sleep.
It's just all gone.
And clothes on you, gone. Everything in your drawers, gone. Like,
and you just decide, I'm just going to take a stroll outside. You don't even try to cover up?
Right. So, those were his four crazy excuses.
Maybe they're not four separate excuses.
What, it's all part of a story?
Well, no, here's what happened. Ready? I'm going to lay out the narrative.
Let's hear it. Here, Detective Mike at work.
He wakes up in his pajamas.
Should I get, like, some music here? Are you going to be on a grand case here?
I don't know what music you're going to pull up, but sure, why not? I think I can lay out some good casework here.
Okay, you're on the case here.
Okay, wow.
You, Mike, Detective Michael Costanzo.
You have that LA Noir music ready to go to moment's notice.
Yes, Detective Michael Costanzo here on the beat.
Here's how I see it. He wakes up, tired, maybe a little hungover. It was a rough night the night before, still dressed in his clothes from the previous day. But, unfortunately, he opens his drawer, nothing. Just the sad remains of some trash in the bottom drawer. A memory faded. He decides, that's all right, I'm still wearing some clothes. I can make my way to the store. He sets out, cross town. That broad, it's still on his mind from a week ago. He was lost in thought, so lost, he didn't realize he needed to go to the bathroom. Crap himself. Left a little trail. He thought, well, at least now I can find my way back. He was always lost in one way or another. As he was stumbling around, he happens to cross Bob the Hobo. And Bob, of course, sticks him up because that's what Bob the Hobo does. And this guy, whatever his name is, he thinks, you know what? I'm walking around with crap anyway. Might as well give him my clothes. And that was it, really. All four excuses in one story. He wasn't lying. He was just telling the truth in his own way.
He was telling the truth from certain points of view.
Yeah. That's what I think it was. I think that's the story.
All right, there you go. Detective Michael Costanzo on the case there for Florida.
I think he woke up in his clothes. He woke up in his clothes. He probably left the clothes in the wash, so he thought he had no clothes. Accidentally crapped himself. Saw a hobo on the way to wherever he was going. Gave that hobo his clothes, and then just pretending he got held up. It's all four excuses in one. I think it's a plausible story.
There you go. Detective Costanzo breaks the case.
He's just a misunderstood guy, really.
There you go. And that's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Thank you, Detective Costanzo.
You're welcome.
Before we wrap this week's episode up, it's time to review all that we have learned on this week's episode. Folks, it's time for what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Detective Costanzo, I'm going to call you now. What have you learned?
I'll tell you what I learned. That doing my detective voice is getting old. What I learned is that, that Florida guy, he wasn't lying. He just was a little scatterbrained. He couldn't get his story straight. I see it all as one cohesive narrative, though. It's there. You just got to read between the lines.
I like it.
They're very blurry lines.
Very extremely blurry. Yes. and nonsensical lines.
And probably non-existent.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, that Florida guy was, I mean, that just takes the cake for a number of excuses. That's great. Four different ones in rapid succession.
Yep.
But you know what? I'm surprised that the Florida cops are even trying to solve that crime. Because usually Florida doesn't make an ounce of effort to stop a crime until it happens at least 15 times.
Right, yes.
You know, there's a threshold.
Right. I mean, look, we've all seen, brass plumbing fixtures go missing 10, 11, 12 times. That's nothing. 15.
Yeah.
Oh.
15. That's when it gets suspicious.
Yeah, that's when we got to do something about it.
I also learned that apparently you think that I just randomly interject the word meth into the middle of conversations.
Sure, why not?
Meth.
Meth.
Of course. It's my favorite word to just randomly shout while I'm talking to people.
Yes.
Meth. I also learned that despite all of our weirdness, we should probably be hired by the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes.
Because we think about all the logistics.
Really.
Where they don't.
Exactly. We have qualifications. We have criteria.
That's right. We have some strict quality control here.
Correct.
I think we could bring a lot to the team. So
right.
Guinness Book of World Records, reach out to us.
Yes.
We're available for a consultation.
Exactly. We're a consultation team.
Yes. Yes. Hey, man, consultants make big bucks.
That's right. So give us money.
You know who else makes big bucks, shockingly? Fergie. Because she cannot sing.
Oh, my God. That was atrocious.
That was a very bad rendition of the national anthem.
Yeah. Please never hire her ever again.
No. No.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another interesting episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the books. Episode 249, to be more specific.
The last one before the big one.
Yeah, so make sure to follow our advice from earlier in the show and go to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages and send us a question that you would like us to have, that you'd like us to answer on the special 250th episode. We want to have as many questions as we can get through on next week's episode for our special 250th episode. And to do that, make sure you're following us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Search the Crispy Noodle and the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and our pages and our channel should come up.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. Next week is going to be a big one, the 250th episode. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Do it right now.
Yes, make sure that you are subscribed to those channels, and that way when the episode gets released, it's right on your feed and you can listen to it immediately.
Yes.
No
post-haste.
No waiting, no nothing like that. This is the majesty that is podcasting. If you want to follow us on Twitter and let us know what's happening in your world, or you got a cool link that you want to share with us, or you got a question, hey, shoot it to us on Twitter. I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So, yeah, check us out on all the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. And then the podcast itself, iTunes, Stitcher, or flat out just go to the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Man, we got all the avenues covered.
Yeah. Get in touch with us. We can't wait to hear from you guys.
Exactly. We want the 250th episode to be interactive interactive as possible. So give us your questions.
Questions, stories, multiple questions, whatever you want.
Yes.
Send it all our way.
Exactly. But for now, this will wrap up this week's episode. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week for the 250.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.